some substance some falsity. Last Monday, Charlie Schaffer was in the office in the continuation of negotiations.
Right.
Charlie Schaffer is the lawyer.
Right.
Charlie's a very bright, able, bombastic fellow, and he was carrying on as if he were making a summation in the case. And he said that he was threatening. We have tied a president in, not this case, but in other things. What other things are, we don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Don't worry.
In other areas, more specifically, is the word he used. That they regarded, and didn't consider of importance, they regarded as an elaboration of the earlier threat. You know, we'll try this administration, Nixon, what have you, what have you. There's been no conversation by them with Dean since the Sunday we first met, June Kleindienst and I.
This is Schaffer.
So this is, whatever said is through Schaffer, the lawyer.
Now what else do you have
besides
that?
Well, let's see. They did say that at a later date in this proceeding that the dean went to the president, and I assume that's either in February, March, whatever that date was. You know, but that's in the course of what we're trying to find out. Well, today they were after the Cubans and the receipt of the money, which they've confirmed. Dorothy Hunt, you know, being the intermediary that passed through. They're going to have Butterfield in a few minutes.
What I'm getting at, Henry, about this threat is
there's no more on that. No more on that, other than what I just told you.
Why in the hell can we stop the paper to us? Hearst's a bad thing. To think of them to bring the president and a thing like that. Good God Almighty, I mean, now understand. Let me say, if there's anything in the grand jury I want to know too, that I have to know. It's the president.
You know,
good God Almighty, I mean,
well,
you got to believe me. I'm after the truth. Christ, even it hurts me, but believe me, it won't.
I understand that.
Just like it won't hurt you.
But, you know,
I'm doing our job. And somebody was in here the other day, and they were saying, well, Dean is going to blackmail you because of, you know, something you're supposed to turn around. And I asked you about that. And I said, screw it. I said, you had a right to tell him what was going on.
The only thing I think is in the four nerves, Dean or Schaffer or this McCandless. Now, Schaffer says it's McCandless that's leaking this stuff to the press.
Who is McCandless?
McCandless is another lawyer that Dean's retained.
Yeah, he's leaking it to the press. They're going to try the president.
Well,
about other matters.
But other areas is the word they use, but what those areas are, we don't know. Now, Silbert said stop. You know, he didn't let them go on. He said, you know, we're never going to get into that.
It's not this case, are
that's right. Now,
go ahead with your other things then.
Well, I told those fellas,
yes. I
told those fellas that, you know, I know you can't avoid these reporters all the time, and if you talk to them, at least have one or preferably two witnesses.
Have cigarette, please. I'm glad to have that then. When I heard that, I thought the dean must be off his goddamn mind or something. You think the man is not, I don't know, what else you have? You're going to have Butterfield in to...
Well, have Butterfield in, and that's in connection with the $350,000.
That's the way to get the Butterfield.
Now, we're going to have Jack Caulfield into the grand jury.
Because he worked with...
He set up the intermediaries that were being used as couriers to transfer money either to or from LaRue.
Oh, he did?
Yes, sir.
Coffee. Yeah. What would be the liability of a man like that? Would he be a conspirator?
It's done with knowledge.
Yeah.
But well,
knowledge, and also, but it's, there is a certain, it has to be willful or...
The knowledge has to... You know, when you're talking about a conspiracy, you're imputing knowledge, and you impute the knowledge from the facts, unless there's specific evidence.
I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I just don't want to see guys get hurt that didn't want to have it.
And we don't want to either.
Go after the principals, believe me. I'm not talking about the case. Well, go after a bunch of
people. We're looking for witnesses, to be perfectly honest.
Sure.
Strawn, you know, they're... They're still negotiating with him on having flunked lie detector test.
Are you going to try to get him to plead guilty?
Well, you know,
Why?
Basically, I mean, what we're telling Strawn is you better make a choice. Whether you want to be a witness or a defendant. You can be that tough and you'll be technically...
That story, according to Henry Peterson, he just called us, totally false.
Well,
you totally knocked out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Tom, read me exactly what you did. You called the U.S. attorney.
Called the U.S. attorney and said that in
I told him
Monday past, an attorney representing John Dean was in his office and indicated that... we persisted in insistence on Dean that they would be trying in the president, not in the Watergate, but in other areas.
And
whatever that means.
Well, that's fine. Just let them tie us in.
Now, to put that in context, they had previously said that that if we insisted on trying Dean and not Ehrlichman and Haldeman, that they would they would be trying this administration, president, and what have you.
Yeah. So basically that's the game they're playing.
I didn't understand that word.
Thank you so much. Just black and no screen.
You indicated that attorney the other day said they would insist on trying, did you say? In not the Watergate,
but
they would be trying. They would be tying in the president. I mean, it was an emotional statement.
Right.
Brown.
And Marsh, tying in the president, not in the Watergate, but in other things.
Not in the Watergate, but in other things. What other things?
But when was this?
Monday of this week.
Monday of this week. Well, I think that's what I think this crap is. I think it's this thing that we just got to talk
about. Well, that's
about.
The only thing.
You know?
I don't know that. And they have no idea.
But Dean gave you that.
Pardon? Oh, yes, but
that basically it ties in the White House.
Well, that was one of the reasons it was so important to disclose that, because they could have hung that over our heads.
You remember when we called Camp David, I said, don't go in the national security shop. I didn't mean because I remember, I think we discussed that silly goddamn thing. I had just heard about it. I mean, you told me, didn't you? But they found
their
photograph. That was it. You told me. What in the name of Christ did they get? I think right in the psychiatrist's office for. I couldn't believe it.
I think what all of this is.
What do you think this is?
I think it's the attorney making this thing.
And I think he's bargaining for Dean.
Apparently so. I had occasion to talk to Dean a few minutes ago.
You did? Well, tell us what you understand. We've got to watch how you handle it now, because we've got...
It's a very quick conversation. Guest called last night to see if he's releasing a statement. He said, Ron, I'm issuing no statements. He said,
that he was pleased and elated and reassured, and you know, as a human being,
yeah.
I'm kind of glad.
Well, of course, I don't want to hurt John Lee.
Yeah.
But I'd like to help him.
Well,
we heard
that
way.
He went out of his way to make a point to me just in this very conversation. He said, I didn't leave that talk with Carl Ron. He said, no, who may have done it because he knows.
Well, you didn't discuss this crazy here, this Hirsch story with him, did you? Now, tell me about this first story. Is the Times come and say they're going to run this?
No. Go ahead. As a matter of fact, I talked to Clifton Daniels afternoon, and he didn't even raise it.
Yeah. So, on the Woodward story, tell us what the Woodward story is. Woodward also has the same story?
Woodward.
Or the Post?
Woodward said that reliable sources said that someone had implicated the president in their testimony, you know, referred to
him. Just in Dean's testimony?
No, that was Hirsch.
Hirsch. Now, what did Woodward say?
Woodward just said they had two stories. One was the fact that it was reaching a new plateau.
Right.
And he was not ready to read the story he sent to Derry because they were still working on it. And Woodward was taking the position that he was confused and needed to talk to someone to get a perspective.
What they're trying to do,
I think, is to get a fix on what's happening.
All right. Take a hard line, Gergen with Woodward. Anything on that, they better watch their goddamn cotton picking faces, because boy, if there's one thing in this case, as Henry will tell you, since March 21st, I had that conversation with Dean. I have broken my ass to try to get the facts of this thing right. Got a call, tried to get that damn Liddy to talk. We tried to get, we finally got Gray to refresh his memory and lose his job, poor bastard. We finally got his Australian wife with Ruck in that thing rather than, I didn't think, based on what you had told me earlier, that we should put Felt, because there's too much nut cutting over there. Yeah. Ruckelshaus is a perfectly trustworthy man. He'll stay in
camp for 30 days, we'll love it.
30 days, and then by that time we'll have another man ready. But that's not right to you.
Doesn't
I told Ruck at the valley that he was to continue the investigation, and I said, Ruck, you're to do anything that the prosecutors are going to do, Henry Peterson, the prosecutors, leave no stone unturned, and I don't give a damn who it hurts. Now, believe me, that's what he's been told. So you got a man there.
I know him, and I think we're looking, Mr. President.
Well, it's Mr. Clean, you know.
Indeed.
So you understand, and I hope you say nice things about him.
Yes, indeed.
But there you are. We got to knock that crap down.
I mean,
we can't get, there's one thing we got to do. We got to maintain the presidency out of this thing, because I got some things to do for this country. I'm not going to have, this is personal. I just said, I sometimes feel I should resign. Let Andrew be president for a while. He'd love it.
I talked to the vice president. I don't even know why
I don't
even know why you want the job.
Yeah. I'm talking about this story. That Andrew was getting ready to resign. That's the post also?
Well, that's the post and
At times?
No, that's the post.
The post. And what did Andrew say?
He said, that's ridiculous. He said, I don't know how that happened. He said, Marsh Thompson's going to turn it off. What I ended up doing is have Gergen call Woodward back and say, look, you raised two points with me. Let me tell you what's going on here. What's going on here, Bob, is the president's involved to get to the bottom of this.
That's right.
And then have Gergen say, I checked this at the very high level out in Farnborough. And you better absolutely not even go into any emotional concerns about running a story like that. You best better wipe it out of your mind, because there's nothing to it. There are a lot of games being right here.
That's right.
If you say you want to be responsible and fair,
yeah,
well, you better not go with the
same
speculative.
That's right. The same with the Times.
And the same, well, that's right. The New York Times thing, I'm sure.
Well, Hirsch has got that one.
Daniels would have raised it.
Hirsch told, I call Daniels. You better call him. Hirsch told Bittman, according to Hirsch brought this up, told Bittman, who told O'Brien, that Dean had testified that there was a new, that the president was involved, right?
Not testified, but had told the prosecutor or something.
Had told the prosecutor that the president was involved, right?
Now,
I ask you a specific question. You have Titus and those say neither Dean nor his lawyers have said anything to that sort.
No, sir.
Except this one thing.
They said, I mean, tying in the prison, not in this case, that is the Watergate, but in other areas. And the prosecutors said, stop. We don't want to get into it. We want to discuss it.
You see, it's not their business to get into other areas. He said,
we don't want to say that.
He was in effect threatened to tie the president in.
That's what I think. It's bombast. It's negotiation.
Again, make it clear that Henry is maybe it's right. Manuel. Pardon me.
Manuel.
We
took a little over a year, Mr. President. I can't stand it.
Just to put this in perspective, this is not, as I sense it, about to break into papers. It's just, you know, that rumor type.
Yeah. Boy, kill it.
Thing.
Kill it hard.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to sue a few people. I mean, TR hit it for what, 2 minutes, was it?
Yes, sir.
Remember? By God, they started this crap on me. They got a hell of a lawsuit.
Okay, sir.
Let me say this. Let me ask you about a couple of things. First one, Dean. I do not want to get into a position. You've told me now that you can do what you want with me, if you've given up on it. You mean, in other words, firing, hiring, leading, treating like the others, waiting for the grand jury acts or something. See, I have 3 words. I can wait on the grand jury acts. I can take leaves of absences. I can take resignations. You know, I have 3 different courses on all 3 men, and I can do different things with each one, right?
Yes, sir.
These are the options.
Yes, sir. That's right.
What I would do remains to be seen. Now, in Dean's case, I do not want the impression left, and I've gone with you before, that by saying don't grant anything to a major person, that in so doing, I am trying to block Dean giving evidence against Holland or Irving. To others, and I don't want to know.
Yes, sir, let me make myself clear.
Yeah.
I regard the immunity authority under the statutes of the United States to be my responsibility,
right,
of which I cannot divest myself.
Right.
And respect the opinion,
yeah,
but I would have to treat it as advisory only.
Right. Well, understand, I only express that opinion.
I understand.
And understand, you've got to determine who's a major culprit, too.
Yes, sir.
And if you think Dean's an agent, do it. Let me say, if Dean, I didn't call her to take care of himself with Dean, but my point is, you have got to, I don't know what you're prosecuting, but if your prosecutors believe that they got to get Dean immunity in whole or in part in order to get the goddamn case, do it. I'm not telling you what to do, but you're the decision. Now, if you talk to the prosecutors about this situation,
they're vacillated. First instance, I think, felt quite strongly that Dean should be immunized, and I was resisting. And the last time we discussed it, why they had made 100 degrees.
Why they turned around? Maybe because of what I said. I don't want that.
No, I don't think so. Because one, they're in a position to simply make the recommendation.
Yeah.
And let me shoulder the heavy burden.
Why do you think that they had turned around?
Well, I think they see the question of credibility. They've come to the recognition that if they're going to put him on the stand and he's going to have any credibility at all, he'll have most credibility if he goes in and pleads and testifies as a co-defendant against Ehrlichman and Haldeman, as opposed to someone who's been given immunity and is testifying against him.
Even though men like Wilson and Terry Hill
Well, John Wilson, he may be old, but he's one hell of a lawyer.
Oh, I can see.
He's a top-notch lawyer.
I won't again. But I was impressed with him. He's a delightful man.
He is.
I can see. God, I didn't want to be on the stand with him, Terry.
He
must be pretty good.
Yes, sir, he is. And did you meet Frank Stickler?
They're
both delightful people.
Yeah, they're God. And Stickler's he's a sort of a, looks like a big country monk.
But he is
a sharp monk back there.
Very able poem. And they're decent people to deal with. As adversaries. They're decent lawyers. They're honorable lawyers. They're a pleasure to deal with them.
All right. You've got the immunity problem yourself. Do it with Dean. Deal with it. Boy, I'm telling you, there ain't going to be any blackmail.
Mr. President, I'm not going to do it.
Don't let Dick claim these statements.
Nope.
Dean, let me clear your particular sense. Dean, how's he going to blackmail you? How's he going to blackmail any of us? It's his word, basically, against yours. It's his word against mine. Now, for Christ's sake, who's going to believe John Dean? We rely on the goddamn, so Dean was the one that told us throughout the summer that nobody invited us wrong. When he himself apparently was involved, particularly on the critical item of subordination of virtue. That's the way.
I will never understand it.
Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I can almost quote him. He said, "Henry, goddammit, I need this information. That man has designated me to get all of these facts."
That man.
Meaning you. And he calls me in there and chews my ass off.
You know something?
And this was before the trial.
Dick Kleindies is that lady. Dick Kleindies told me this last night when I talked to him. He says, "You know, Mr. President, I said, did you know how the first time I ever saw Dean alone was on February 27th of 72, except for 5 minutes when I signed my wills on August the 14th. Dick probably repeated. I said, "I think you were rude." I said, "You kidding?" I said, "Yeah, why did you have that of me?" He said, "But Dean was around here quoting the president all the time. Did he indicate that I was telling him to do this?"
He told me that he had been designated by you to accumulate all these facts, and he was reporting to you personally, and you were chewing his ass out because if you didn't have it. And I went back to him again, and I said, "John, are you sure this information is not going laterally?" I said, "Not that I distrust you, but where is it going? Do you know?" He said, "Henry, it's only going upward," which I took to mean Ehrlichman, Haldeman.
I didn't have any problem with that.
You know, I got in a real...
Suppose you take a Dean comes in here and says that, suppose he starts trying to impeach the President of the United States and says, "Well, I've got information to the effect that I once discussed with the President the question of the possibility of the problem of this Dan Bittman thing that I spoke to you about that last... Henry, that won't stand up for 5 minutes because nothing was done. Nothing was done. And fortunately, I had all of it in the conversation. And he was there, and I said, "Look," and I said, "All right, you can do this. But I said, "When you finally get down to it, it won't work." Because I said, "First, you can't give clemency to him."
I agree. I don't see how they even realistic.
So, I mean, I was just running it out. I said, to try to see what the Christ Dean had been doing. I said, "First, you can't give him clemency. I mean, you can't, somebody had thrown out something to the effect, Dean reported that Hunt had an idea that he's going to get clemency around Christmas." I said, "Is he kidding?" I said, "You can't give clemency, Hunt. You couldn't even think of it till 75 or something like that."
That's right.
Which you could then because of the fact that they could get to the, by that time, temperature cools over. But nevertheless, that's the first thing that went to see it so done. I said, "The second point," I said, "it's going to work." I said, "How the hell are you going to get the money for them if you could do it? I mean, you're talking about $1 million. I'd ask him, remember I took it to me? How are you going to get it to him?" "Well, there isn't any way." I said, "You couldn't go through a Cuban committee, could you?" I asked him, because to me he was something so damn ridiculous. "No." I said, "Well, under the circumstances," I said, "there isn't a damn thing you can do." I said, "It looks to me like the problem is still John Mitchell." Mitchell came down the next day. And we talked about executive privilege, nothing else. Now that's the total story. And so I just want you to be sure, Dean never raises that thing. You've got the whole thing and kick him straight in the ass.
I mean, that's what we have to do. I just don't see how we can immunize that thing. That's always good.
But I suppose he talks to his friends. Let's see. Is he talking to Bittman? No. Dean was talking to O'Brien, wasn't he?
Dean
was
talking to
Bittman, confidant, as I recall.
Not to my knowledge.
Wasn't that story that Bittman talked to O'Brien?
Bittman to O'Brien.
So Bittman to O'Brien said, "Look, we need the money."
That's right.
Bittman to Dean, I don't know. They're all aggravated, except Dean. They're all kind of a feeler. What kind of a guy is O'Brien?
I have only met O'Brien one time. time and then only recently at a recent bar dinner. So I don't know him. Bittman, I know well, so I'm just thank God that I broke off social relations with him from the time he represented Hunt. We had a golf date.
Yeah.
And I just broke it. And I haven't seen socially since. Well, what he's concerned about is the allegation that he, in behalf of Hunt, was attempting to blackmail the White House for substantial sums of money in return for Hunt's silence. That's the allegation. And that's what McCord says. McCord says that Darby Hunt told him all this sort of thing.
And so how do you get into that? Do you have to call Bittman or
wait? Well, we make it into the fee. That's, the fees are not privileged.
I see. You say you got where did you get your fees?
That's right.
And how would you go about that?
We just subpoenaed the fee records out of law firm.
Right. And then if you got the fees, then you say, did you blackmail the White House for this?
Well,
the White House didn't pay the fee, did you know?
No, I think that, one, we try to trace whether or not the amount of fees reflected on the books of the law firm were consistent with the amount of money that's reported to have gone to the law firm. In other words, what we think happened is a considerable amount went in the law firm, was taken out in fees, and then the balance went on to Dorothy Hunt for distribution to the Cubans and what have you.
For support.
The strange thing about this, Mr. President, is that they could have done it openly.
Why, of course.
If they had just come out in the Washington Post and said, well, these people were...
Well, look, they helped the Scottsboro beef kit, they helped the Berrigans.
And we're going
they
to do this.
You remember they helped the Defense Fund?
That's right. And we're doing this.
Bill Lundy contributed to that.
Once they do it in a clandestine fashion, then it takes on the...
takes on the idea of cover.
That's right, and the obstruction of justice.
That's what it is. It's the way it was done.
Sir?
Curious thing. I get your point there. I see that was, in other words, so let's look at Bittman. Bittman says he's trying to blackmail the White House. All right. You call Bittman. Bittman says he said that O'Brien, to whoever did you get the money and so forth.
Now, Bittman maintains that's a lie.
He'd be better off to say it's a lie.
Yes, he simply says that this is a statement by McCord that's lacking in veracity and is attributed to the dead woman, that is Dorothy Hunt.
Of course, you've got Dean, though. Now corroborating that energy.
Well, we have Dean alluding to it, but not in circumstances that we can use it, depending on whether or not the...
But his is also hearsay, though, on that point. That's an interesting point. I'd forgotten. This is hearsay, because he says that he had heard that Bittman needed money. I mean, Bittman had said he had to have
the link here is O'Brien.
Huh?
The link here is O'Brien.
The lawyer. I see. Oh, that Dean had heard from Bittman to O'Brien.
No, I say the link in breaking this is O'Brien. Because O'Brien's a lawyer, he's very scared.
So O'Brien, let's see what he says. I'm just trying to see where this starts on. O'Brien, did you get him in? What is he doing? How do you see it? Just fold it up for me.
Well, I don't know that I can really predict.
Well, I don't predict.
But conceivably, if he said, as part of the scheme to ensure the silence of those who were convicted, we made an arrangement whereby money would be funneled through Bittman in the form of legal fees for distribution to those people, then you got it.
In the form of legal fees, I see. And then you got Bittman. and then you got a front, and then you got the people that did it. If they, at least those that knew.
Yes, sir.
But some, like Kamala, might not have known.
Well, that's, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, he might not. LaRue.
Not LaRue.
LaRue did know. I mean, he had to. And Mitchell. Mm-hmm. You've got Mitchell there, you've got LaRue. Who else is Mitchell? LaRue, is he the one that used the code name of Rivers?
I don't know whether
I heard that name, Rivers.
Well, I heard Baker. Now, there's two. But as these may be couriers that Caulfield recruited, I'm not sure.
And if all that Caulfield is involved, probably only coincidentally. You can't tell us.
So
they say some of these down there. But O'Brien, in other words, O'Brien is scary. O'Brien says that Pittman. I'm just trying to see how they could ever, well, the only way you could ever get it, let me say this, there's no way you could get it to the president. I'm referring to the other, the home and earlier, but I'm referring to this man here. There's no way you could get it to here, except through the fact that on March 21st, Dean, as I had reported to you, did report to me that Pittman had told O'Brien that they needed the money. They needed money. It was discussed, and I said, it can't be done. We can't do it. He went up to see Ehrlichman. Ehrlichman said, no dice. Nothing can be done. Now that is the fact, as far as we're concerned. That isn't much of a thing for Dean to have.
No.
But you could have Bettman, I suppose. Dean could have talked to him. But then he's got hearsay that Dean told him. But Dean's not credible. He's not going to be credible on this stuff. He can't go out and say, look, I talked to the president and he told me this and that and the other thing. First, it's not true. He's likely to say anything.
Yeah. That's true. He's not saying, you know, in order to make Dean a credible witness, one, it seems to me he has to plead, and two, he has to be corroborated. In essential degrees, not everything he says, but in a number of essential factors by other witnesses. And you know, he may be corroborated in one respect by LaRue, and another respect by O'Brien, and still third respect by someone else, fourth respect by Magruder. You know, and that's the way the case will be built.
Yeah.
Assuming we can bring him around.
Well, there's only this one charge I give to you among many others, and that is, if any of this crap, I can't allow it, and I believe you should have even, the prosecutor should have even informed you of this one, or maybe not, I guess they didn't.
Well, you know, I think they described it as bombast and rhetoric and, you know, closing. And
you examine them tomorrow, you tell them, what, I mean, they're my men, I'm for them too, I want them to do a good job, I want them to come out smelling right, and they'll smell right if they get the big fish. Let's come to the Dean thing again. I can give you some more time if you want to negotiate with him. I mean, when I say give you more time,
he needs more pressure. I mean, it's become counterproductive, Mr. President.
What?
It's become counterproductive.
I
think he was pressed up against the wall. He's seen the early morning crisis pass, and now he's had a resurgence. He sees Ehrlichman here, he sees Alderman here, he sees John Dean still here. Nothing happens. His confidence is ebbing, coming back rather than ebbing. And
what do you think then?
He's a little more pressure.
What, without your advice, is the proper course of action to ask for Dean either to exactly two courses of action? I can take a leave of absence until they clear, you know what I mean? Which, of course, is, I think, a very, Bill Rogers thinks is probably the fairest and the end, and then they resign, of course. grand jury. I don't want to. You know what I mean? I want to give, I don't want it in effect. I don't want it in effect by something that I do. Totally precious. Even me. You know what I'm saying?
I understand that aspect of it.
I understand. As president, I shouldn't give a damn about that. But I tell you, I'll speak to the country on this, and I will soon. But my point is, with a leave of absence, with a leave of absence, for all three.
I think you have, with a leave of absence, you have the best of both worlds.